Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, Michael. So, Michael, are we on?
Imam DeLacy?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Your mic is open.
Yes, I was speaking, but was I being heard?
We hear you now.
Oh, very good, very good. Appreciate it. Thank you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. Dear listening audience, we have been having some blog talk issues with our station, having some technical difficulties. But thank God Almighty Allah that we are now back on the scene, on point. We want to talk about a sacred unity on a philosophy for life. Imam Warifuddin Muhammad, may God give him an excellent place in the paradise and forgive him his mistakes. he invited us to look at developing a philosophy for life, and we've been exploring that path on Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty for a few years now, showing and demonstrating how the five principles of Al-Islam has the potential power to create a new cultural life for any people that embraces it and learn about its potential and its influence on as a prescription. You know, we have Tawheed, the concept of the oneness of the Creator. In the language, there's no God but one, and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings, who the Quran was revealed to over 1,400 years ago as his last prophet. And we have five daily prayers that we pray, regulated by the sun, positions of the sunrise before the dawn, midday, mid-afternoon, after the sun has set, and then after the darkness has appeared on the earth. Five times for a prayer. We have Sadaqa, Zakah is called as, and these things I'm covering have dual implications, especially with Sadaqa. We have charity, but there's an obligatory charity, 2.5% of your income that remains with you after expenses. And then we have fasting in the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the lunar calendar. Excuse me. Ninth month of the lunar calendar. And that's 30 days. We fast during the daylight hours. No food, drink, no vile speech, abstention from all the, I would say, personal pleasures, so to speak. And we concentrate on prayer, study of the Quran, and our daily work, keeping that up, because we believe also work is worship. When we do honorable work, that's a part of worship. That's the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Brief description. There's more details we'd be sharing. And if you go to our archives and look at some of our programming, you may find where we've discussed these things in more detail. And the last pilgrim is Hajj, making a trip to the site where Prophet Ibrahim left his wife Hajar and his son Ishmael, and they developed an Islamic community there. A place was built called the Qibla as an orientation, a direction that we turn to for focus for our worship. Making a journey there once in a lifetime's obligation on the person who accepts to be a Muslim. So these things we share with you, and we invite you to try some of these concepts in your life and see how they improve your life, your focus on your daily activities, and your general well-being, especially for prayer. You know, we have such all these things about anxiety and this and that. And taking five times out of the day to focus on your own health and focus on your relationship with your Creator gives you an excellent opportunity to think, to relax, to reconnect with your own self. So we invite you to try some of these concepts. And today we want to talk about a philosophy for life. We had four essentials that we sometimes are called the four birds. They are education, business, culture, and governance. Four focal points. And we've been talking the last few weeks on government and culture. And we want to connect, and we talked about last week the influence of language on culture, and we want to connect culture with the philosophy for life. How do we take these four essentials that I mentioned, education, business, and I like to include economics with business, culture, and governance. How do we take the focus on these issues and develop a philosophy for life? These four issues is a philosophy for life because they cover the whole paradigm of what a person's life needs are. So we want to have some discussion on that. We have, as usual, I hope we have our Professor Rabbani Muhammad with us. And the ma'am invited us. Go ahead.
I'm Mike. Sorry. I just got notification that he's traveling. So he won't be joining.
Okay. Very thankful. Thanks for alerting. This connection, the invitation to develop a philosophy for life in a sacred unity, something that we should get together on and agree on, and then hold on to that decision and principle discussions with a sacred unity. And this should be across the board. No religious preference for this, no gender preference for this. This is an invitation to humanity to look at the essential needs and then to journey together on a philosophy of life. Even though the imam focus was on the traumatic experiences that one has endured, and for us in particular, through the slave experience, Jim Crow South, discrimination, segregation, all of the things that really are traumatic experiences that we have been working through as people of color, African American people in particular, is a very, very, it's a very needed process for us to step back, take a look at how to restructure our life. And by the way, Ramadan is an excellent example of an invitation that our Creator gives to the human family to take some time out and focus on more important matters than just physical eating, sleeping, drinking, and sexual activity with your wife, managing your temperament, your anger, and et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of that 30-day period of practicing this type of restraints, we hope that we see a return. And I like to say that we return to our original self. And it's called in the religion Deen al-Fitra, the way of the natural pattern that God has created, the original pattern that God has created for the human being. So we invite our listeners, whether you're new in the religion, or you are interested in learning more about the religion, or you are practicing the religion, to take and tune into our programming and help us experience this idea of preparing to make it in the land of plenty. So thank you for allowing me to introduce that introduction. And Michael, I'm going to turn to you, and this Michael Hameen, our engineer and associate on the program. So Michael, please share some thoughts with us on this topic, if you would.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum to you and to the audience. This is a very necessary topic. I want to approach it in this way. You know, Almighty God, Allah, has given us the human makeup, and it's a spiritual makeup. It's a moral makeup, and it's also an intelligent makeup, and within the human being groups, there is, we've been told, a spirit of competition. You know, we see it expressed in a lot of different ways. In the family setting, and you know, in different areas of activities of life, but Almighty God, Allah, speaks about it in terms of going as in a race towards all that is good. Well, you know, the various games and activities like races, you know, they have a structure, rules. And we've experienced in the history of human family unfair competitions that have taken place throughout history. Somebody, or some group of people become greedy. Leadership is something that's natural for progress. We've identified that in so many areas of life down through history. I want to say briefly a word about the establishment of institutional life is what we're talking about. And one of our colleagues, Dr. Hameed El Amin, he often refers to these institutional focuses as domains. But when we talk about birds, we're talking about the inspiration, or the aspirations, I should say, aspiring spirit in us to have more knowledge of ourselves and our surroundings, to have activities for providing for ourselves, providing for sustaining our life. And it's developed in certain areas of business, you know, agricultural, industrial, technology-wise. So this is, in my opinion, these things need to be looked at in terms of how we operate as human beings, and having a greater awareness of ourselves in the group context as well as the individual context. But the group context is very important to us, as we, you know, we're invited to look not only at ourselves, but look at the other forms of life. The scientists have put these different forms of life into families, family grouping. And when we observe the logic of ourselves down through history and the logic of these other groups, you know, the animal group, the insect groups, as we observe the connection, what's called the creation-supported logic, you know, the logic that we can see, you know, the intelligent systems and operations, how we operate as human beings, how the animal kingdom expressions, you know, the various cows and sheep and goats and camels. Mention those four in particular because they're connected with the religion of Al-Islam in terms of sacrificing these animals during the period of Hajj, which is a social picture of the Muslims, but representing all of humanity in terms of us gathering, coming together with the focus, a social focus, spiritual focus, the focus on Almighty God. So I'll stop with that, and inshallah, we're working on this idea of a philosophy of life.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. You know, as you were talking, I was reflecting on our previous programming where we addressed our evolution or revolution, our development as a going through all of the difficulties, the traumatic experiences, et cetera, as a new people being formed, a new people
yeah.
being formed on this planet. And we were, I appreciated our brother calling in and reading from the Imam's article on a new people, but talking about Muhammad. Calling in from New York last week and saying how this new people should be like a newborn baby with energy and interest and a spirit to, like, when you know
yeah.
when the child first learned that he can walk, he's up and moving forward, trying to achieve more and more progress. And you know, I was talking to on a topic about what is a human, what does it mean to be human, you know, and I was looking at all of the, and I would say a lot of the ingredients, because there's so much to being human. I was looking at what God has said about it, what makes a human, and I thought about the ayat in the Quran, verse 177 of the Surah Baqarah, the second chapter of the Holy Quran, where certain criterions were laid out as to what is piety, what is righteousness, and et cetera, et cetera. This idea of a spirit in the human being to want to soar, as you were mentioning, in competition, and the idea of the four birds taken to the air to look at things from a higher perspective, looking at things from a higher perspective than just the basic needs that we see daily, that, you know, in terms of food, work, sleep, rest, all of the physical activities that we I'll say animal activities that we share with other animals. Just, you know, I remember the Imam saying that the happy dog do these things, you know, eat, drink, sleep, engage in sexual activity, play, rest, et cetera, et cetera. Those are animal instincts. But there's a higher urge in the human spirit to be above those basic things, to be different. And Allah has given us a tool of intellect, intelligence, our mind, our thinking, that elevates the human being to a higher status where we can actually pre-plan, we can pre-plan how we want our life to be, and then take strategic steps to move it towards the direction that we choose it to go in. So we are free to make choices in that regard. We're not, as animals are, confined to instinctual behavior. We are free to make choices, and as a result, we can make bad choices and we can make good choices and excellent choices. And that's what we want to see. We want to, in order to do that, we have to be provided with adequate information to disseminate and make those choices. One other thing. We have in the society is now, right now as we speak, going through traumatic experiences all around the world. We are hearing floods and wars and killing and all of the harsh realities of human beings showing up in their worst form, creating more and more havoc and the other human persons and the planet. The planet is not also relieved of this traumatic experience. You know, the human species has in its capability the ability to change even the planet, even nature. And you know, we had an excellent example during COVID when cars were taken off the road and we were confined to our homes more or less by this terrible disease. We saw that the skies cleared up. Smog was reduced in California and other places. The air was fresher. So the impact of human activity on the planet even changes the nature of the society in its physical environmental picture. So we are at the top of the food chain, so to speak, in terms of our ability to manage this life. And our Creator has consciously made the human being to be the leader for the world. And that's what we need more of. We need more leadership coming from the human species to correct these problems. And the Quran, our holy book, scripture that was revealed over 1,450 some odd years ago to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon the Prophet, it says that corruption has appeared on land and sea because of the work of men's hands. I'm not going to just say men, but of the purpose of the human species hands. So let's take a break, Michael, and we want to invite our callers to press 1 on their phone if they have something they would like to question, they would like to ask on this topic, and we'll circle back and continue the discussion. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic station in the nation, American Muslim 360, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you or anyone you may know big into sports? Having a unique ability to deliver opinionated yet knowledgeable sports takes? Or maybe you're a travel aficionado in love with and passionate about all things travel, from cuisine to hotel tips, modes of travel, one with the air, the land, and the sea. Even the best way to save a buck or two. Or do you have an interest in fashion? A keen eye for the movers and shakers within the realm of Islamic fashion? Perhaps a history buff? Maybe you're an expert in law, all things related to the Ummah and entertainment. Or a student proficient in the arts? An environmentalist? You are a renowned activist or a writer with love for teaching and the deliverance of ideas via the pen, the keyboard, or if you're old school, the typewriter. If you share any of these unique talents, or know someone who does, and are interested in hosting your own radio show, then you've found the right place. Log on to www.cwsc.us for more information. We hope to hear from you soon, and inshallah, the world will begin to benefit from your unique talents and points of view. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for those wonderful PSAs. And we like to remind our listeners, if you enjoy what you hear on American Muslim 360, please hit that blue donate button when you visit the website and make a contribution to, so we can continue to bring you quality programming. Michael, do you have any callers in the queue? Or anyone?
Not at this time. We invite the callers to press 1.
Okay.
To join this conversation.
So, Michael, please share some thoughts, if you like, with us on this topic. And it's a big topic, and we're gonna be exploring it for the coming programming in the future as well. We want to look at this philosophy for life, and how a new people is developed as a result of the experiences, the traumatic experiences, even how they even can shape the strength and can strengthen the human being and give that person more endurance, more ability to overcome. And the religion bring these things, and this is why we have the importance of this religion, this religious invitation to embrace the concepts. It's like a prescription for healing and putting back together the essentials for life for the individual. So, Michael, share some thoughts with us, if you would.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The creator of all life and those things that support life had a plan for what he has created. And understanding this makes the experiences that we go through more understandable. You know, I have heard, I think many of us have heard this idea from certain people. Life is not fair, they say. But I have come to understand through reading the guidance of God and seeing how Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, has applied this life in establishing the community of Medina in Arabia, in Saudi Arabia. And I've come to see that the life is going somewhere. There's a trajectory, a movement, and the experiences of life are not only bitter. You know, we have bitter experiences, things that really get our attention, and in some cases rock our souls, you know, in terms of how we experience them. And these experiences are designed part of a purification process and also an edification or uplifting process in terms of better understanding life. But we can't leave out the fact of the sweetness of life as well, the beauty, the majesty, the awesome. You know, I growing up, I was kind of like an observer of the clouds. My head, well, you heard the saying, some of us, you don't hear that kind of language much. My head was in the clouds. You know, I'm steadily looking up at the sky and looking at how the clouds are moving and, you know, wondering, you know, as a young person, you know, how they're operating, how they're moving, you know. We have that. And it drew my attention in terms of the difficulties of life and how they're necessary, that language coming from Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, that bitterness is necessary in life. It's a part of the process. I've come to see how fair life is, that it's custom made. There's certain aspects of life that bond us together because we can identify with those experiences as a group, looking at life experiences. But then individually, there's certain things that have happened to me that have not happened to you, DeLacy, or Imam DeLacy, or others, you know. They're particular and peculiar to the individual. So,
yes.
But it's going somewhere. We're going somewhere. Today we hear about how all people have experienced, you know, slavery is nothing particularly new to human beings. You know, all people have experienced slavery. But, you know, that's a part of that kind of, you know, this language is like they're trying to tell you that it's raining, but it's some other kind of liquid that's being poured on you, you know. And it's unique in terms of life history that no people have been robbed from their native land and then brought to another land. And the journey to that land was very traumatic. And I think we hear a lot more about trauma and traumatic experiences.
Yeah.
But these experiences are designed by Almighty God Allah. I should say not designed by Him. These experiences are permitted by Him. Yeah, that's more to the point. A lot of times when we look at bad things happening to an individual or a group, we want to put everything on God. You know, like God created it. Like God, I heard one person, but I've heard a number of people talk about it. We learned this in the church, you know, that God created evil. You know, God created the devil. But in Al-Islam, in the guidance of God, the Quran, we come to understand that Almighty God, Allah, permitted by way of giving us free will and the freedom to choose and a limited freedom. You know, it's not total freedom because God can come into our lives at any time and interrupt and blow up and tear down things that we have developed without due consideration for what Almighty God intends. And we've seen this in history.
Yes.
That's why the social leaders, we don't really see or know many of their names, because they want their influence to be felt and not see their person or how they're operating and suggesting things and utilizing their power and influence and monies to get the social life going in a direction. So I'll stop with that.
Yes, you hit on so many vital points as well, Michael, in terms of the concept in our articles of faith called the human destiny or predestination, some like to call it in these different terms, that, you know, and we have that remarkable ability as created beings to understand that we are special when we look at our relationship to other species and the world and the planet and what we are able to achieve. You know, I'm living here on the East Coast in Florida, and I'm watching these satellites go up weekly, at least weekly, going up to saturating the heavens with electronic devices and et cetera, et cetera. Elon Musk talking about going to the Mars. He wants to go to Mars, and I think last week they sent some human beings up to the highest point that humans have ever walked in space, 800 miles or so up into the atmosphere, and had them come out of the closure and do a space walk, et cetera, took all the oxygen out of the capsule and then replenish the oxygen in the capsule. So we are looking at remarkable achievements for the human person. You know, we are able to go out of the environment that Allah has created us and break the gravitational restrictions that are on holding us on the planet, keeping us grounded here on the planet, break that gravitational influence and go out beyond where there's no gravity and operate. That's what we are looking at happening. So we have a remarkable ability as human beings, and we should know that this is from a creator that has created this universe and created the ability for us to traverse it, different from any other species. And this should point to our need to make contact with the creator who has made us, has endowed us with the ability to do all these things, and also to show gratitude and thankfulness for these skills that you had. You mentioned so many things there when you were talking about the limitations and the difficulties that we go through. Even those things have shaped, the difficulties have shaped the human being to that. Just meeting the challenges of things not going your way. How do you cope with that? How do you deal with that? And having the spirit to and the energy to soldier right through, and come out on the other end still shaped, still in your human shape, in your human form. And that's what the challenge is for us. We are losing a lot of citizens because of the lack of the ability to endure difficulty and come out as a human person on the other end. So, Michael, let's see if we have any callers And if not, make to make a contribution.
Well, it looks like right at this moment, the audience is in listening mode.
Yeah, comes in love. We appreciate that.
And,
yes, we appreciate that.
I've been in communication with one of the members of the work group, Islamic Educational Work Group, that's facilitated by Dr. Hamid El-Amin. And he has a new book that's out. Yeah, I just got it in the mail yesterday. And let me see. Yes, the book is entitled Adam, the Universally Evolving Human Soul, Male and Female. And it's so well done. It's very well done. You know how you have these paper covers to protect the book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this book has a hardcover, much like the Ramadan session books that Imam Ronald B. Shahid has produced. It's very sturdy. And it's very well illustrated, the cover, the front cover. And I'm bringing it up because, you know, we've been told by Imam Muhammad that in order to preserve what we have, we need to publish.
Yeah.
And he even suggested in terms of the pages. You know, there's so much information out there that, you know, we can put information and preserve what we have learned from Almighty God, Allah, in book form. But if we limit the number of pages, it'll make it easier for the audience, particularly the everyday man and woman that has so much pressing on their brains, you know, that they can learn. So praise be to Allah, it's a process that the creator of the human family is in charge of. There has never been a time where Allah has just stepped back and allowed the devil full reign. No, even the evils that we see have a limitation.
Yes,
not,
yes.
You know, the savagery that we have read about historically that has taken place among the human family. And even today, the violence in the Sudan, 700,000 people being killed. The Gaza, which is in the forefront of the news right now because of the ongoing inequality of the Zionist government against Palestinian people. And how they've been able to frame what they're doing in language to really just undermine our intelligence, actually, and tell us, you know, tell us that they're the people of God, and so as if to say that God is supporting their savagery in terms of how they're treating. Actually, they're relatives. You know, the Jews claim that they're of a Semitic origin, and the Arabs the same. The Arabs are their cousins. You know.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
But that's a side. That's the minority report. You know, the main report in the commercial media, you know, has for years supported or been silent about the treatment of the Palestinians, you know, the disruption of the lives, you know, taking of the property, you know. And I remember years ago the claim, well, you know, where's the paperwork on this on these Palestinian settlements, you know, the Palestinian cities? Where's the paperwork? Well, hell, it's ancient.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't no paperwork back then, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I just really just challenging our intelligence, you know.
or yes. lack of smoke. Intelligence and awareness.
Screen. Yes. Putting
yeah,
up smoke screens. Yes, yeah. putting up smoke screens. Yes. So we, the human being, is faced with all these challenges, and we pray that Allah gives the resilience. And I'm seeing that in these young people, survivors. I'm gonna say the survivors
yes.
of this brutality. They
yes.
still cannot kill the human spirit, and that's what
right.
That's the struggle. That's the struggle to try to subject the people, the human person, to so much suffering that they just throw up their hands and say, "That's it, I can't take no more." And that's what
yeah.
never happen. It would never happen
yeah.
because Allah, our Creator, has put the resilience in that human spirit. That human spirit has that ability to be resilient, to come back, to you could stomp it down and beat it down. And as long as it holds on to that, that it has a creator, that it has a creator, it has the ability to come back. To come back.
It's
because
important.
Why? The guidance is there for the human being. Once he connects with his creator, he's going to find the peace, the solace, the endure, the energy to endure and to revive his own spirit. So it's impossible what they say.
Yeah.
And it's given in the language that the world has been created for justice. So go ahead, Michael. Yeah.
It's important. Thank you. It's important to understand Allah in the Quran, the last revelation coming to Prophet Muhammad, the last of the words of guidance with clear insight. Clear guidance. Nothing ambiguous or hard to understand. Although let me put it this way. There are some things that challenge us to think a little deeper. There are things that challenge us not to base our perception on our feelings. God Almighty says that He's always communicating with his human being. He's always communicating. There's never a time when he's not communicating with us. He said, "I hear you." We call out a lot of times, "Lord, have mercy." You know,
yes.
You know, and our Christian
yeah.
people call on Jesus. They say, "Lord Jesus, help me." Yeah. Well, okay. You're calling out, and the response from Almighty God in Scripture is that I hear your call. I want you to hear my call.
Yes,
you know, you're
yes.
calling on me, but you're not hearing my call.
Yes.
And so it's calling us to pay a little bit more attention, to manage our emotions so we can, you know, see clearly. Sometimes emotions cloud, well, in many cases, emotions cloud issues, you know,
yeah.
of perception. So,
yes.
Not only are we called upon to hear God, but there's a dramatic picture of the challenges of persecution of Prophet Muhammad and his followers. So much so that they had to go to Christians, some of them with
yeah.
really no connections that would save them from the heavy persecution. But there was a time where all of the followers of Prophet Muhammad, in spite of their being connected with cousins and whatnot, or groups that had the respect, you know, and the clout, so to speak. But
yes.
you know, the Creator says, it's written. Spoken in the language of the prophet himself and the followers. When comes the help? Where's your help, Lord? When comes
yes,
the help of
yes.
Allah? And the response, okay, now that was the call of the believers, and the response coming from God right with it is saying God's help is always near.
Yeah,
so that's
yes.
curious. That's curious. So I'm suffering, Lord. But help me to see where your help is, you know.
Yeah. Such a big picture. Go ahead, continue, Mike. I don't want to interrupt you, though. Sorry
about
that.
I'll say this last thing. We have a caller. I'll just say this last thing, that the history that we have, the makeup of the human being, you mentioned resiliency, being resilient, being able to bounce back, being able to take hardship, and it makes us, what's that saying? If it don't kill you, you know, it'll make you stronger, you know? Yeah. And I know on the work, I did construction for a number of years, and the old timer would tell me, you know, well, young boy, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be strong.
No doubt. You know, I want to say just before we go to our caller, because you hit on such an important topic. The revelation came. The Quran was sent as a response to that call, as that need in the human being for guidance. And that's what the Holy Quran, so I invite our listeners, get you a copy of the Holy Quran. Get your translation. You won't be able to read it, but it has the original Arabic there as well available, the original language that's been preserved for over 1,450 some odd years in its original text as it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. But it's been translated, many different translations, and you can read it, and you can look at it. You can examine that book. But let me warn you. Seek God's protection against the evil of the devil before you go into the Quran looking for faults and looking for excuses to justify your own weakness. Go into the Quran looking for guidance, and you'll be blessed. So let's go to our caller, Michael.
All right. 706, this is Brother Muhammad. Welcome. State your name.
Yeah,
where are you calling from?
Yes, yes, sir. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad.
Welcome, Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah, alaykum as-salam. Welcome to preparing to make it in the land of plenty, my brother.
Yes, sir. And first of all, we had to recognize that help that Allah said is always near. That is us. He said, I've had my message to tell you that you are not a believer until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. And he said, and the believers in the one God, and Muhammad is his messenger, is all the help you need. I left you two things to make sure that y'all will always remember that you are my help. You are my servant. I'm not your servant. You don't have to call on me. I've given you everything you need in these two things. The Quran and the life of the Prophet Muhammad, and I've given you the dominion, like using that word that they like to say in the past, over all things in creation that come to your reality to help you to remember me and give me the, and you'll be successful. Your brother and sister, we're going to help each other. Now, we have to ask ourselves, we don't even have to ask that because a lot of already told you, just watch your open enemy who will make you not even turn to each other in the time of need. Or turn each other down in the time of need. So if you human beings, if you follow this Quran in our day and time, then you will understand that Allah said, I'm with the group. So how can you ever be alone and ain't got no help? When you're supposed to have a whole community with you all the time, even the community itself, it depending on your own soul first. And it will guide you to a believer or guide you.
Did you hit the mute button,
Muhammad? Did you hit the mute button?
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we go.
Your house can't help you. Your car can't help you. Only your fellow human being who believes on whatever level their belief might be on will pray for you, turn to Allah for you, and then Allah will inspire that person to help you. Or you help that person. Quit quoting with what's in the need.
Yeah.
Allah said he with the group. So our goal is to,
yeah.
He's not trying to unite the human family all these years that we've been aware of our destiny for nothing. Lord said, you don't waste your time. I'm telling you, your success in this world or any world you might be in, because I'll be there because I'm the creator of all worlds. But you have to come together. You have to come together. We're having a hard time in understanding that. With all the blessings he's giving us every day. Every day, Allah just shower us with blessings. We got so much money. We got so much this. We got so that. But we have not yet discovered ourselves that we have to depend upon each other.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you,
Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That's that sacred unity you're talking about. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. So, my
I'm about to invite them. Press one, share your thoughts or reflections. And it's necessary. Elijah Muhammad used to say how wonderful it is when brothers and sisters of like minds can come together.
Yes, this sacred unity is so important that Muhammad was mentioning that we should see it as sacred. That's what we've been talking about, how important it is. It's so important that we should see it as a sacred obligation. And the Quran invites us to that. Allah is so merciful, and he gives us so much time to feel out and think out and develop the strength we need to make the progress that he invites us to. So he doesn't force us with physical force, but sometimes he takes us, he allows our bad behavior to put us through such a test that we just throw up our hands. I got to change my life. I can't take this. That's what happened to me, by the way. I was looking at all of the difficulties and the things I was going through, and I was looking at, I mean, I've been taught that we had a creator and there was a better way of life, and I was trying to reconcile which direction should I go in, and I was blessed to hear about the religion of Al-Islam, even though it was in a not so perfect form. But the unity that Muhammad was talking about, I saw with the hands across the globe, reaching back to Africa, and a brother on this side in the West reaching over the globe on that picture on the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, that really touched my psyche. It really touched my psyche because in my spirit, I wanted to see unity. I wanted to see just what Muhammad was talking about. That was something that really drew me to the religion of Al-Islam, even though it was being given in a real awkward way. And it was hard to digest, mentally hard to digest. But the spirit of it was easy to digest. And I think most of us had that desire to be good human beings, and that attracted us. That attracted us. And then when we start to get into the religious life and look at the Quran, and I'll tell you, when I first got a chance to read the Quran, I was convinced. Because I saw all of the things that my parents were trying to teach me being clearly defined and clearly explained in the Quran. And as I, over the years, as I have read it each and every day, we encourage to read it every day, and especially during the month of Ramadan, to read the entire Quran, the 30th every day. And that's an invitation to healing, to progress, to guidance, to to patience, all of the things you need to be successful in life comes in that revelation that we talked about. So we invite our audience to get a Quran and read the Quran, practice the prayer. Practice the prayer and see, does it make a difference in your life? So, Michael, share some thoughts with us, if you would.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to say that, now there are a number of Qurans that are available at various bookstores, the larger bookstores in particular. Two that were recommended to us in terms of their clarity, and, some of these books have
a lot of commentary, and some of the commentary expressions show a kind of bias and a kind of oppositional presentation to other forms of religion and expression. But the Yusuf Ali translation and the Muhammad Pickthall translation have the Arabic on one side, although there is a Yusuf Ali translation with just the English, but the one that has the Arabic side by side with the English translation is one that many of us have, as well as the Pickthall that presented in the same way. And,
yes, and let me make a comment on that, Michael, if I could, just please. We were at a meeting in Orlando a couple of weeks back, I think on the 24th of August. Yes, 24th of August. And Imam Yahya Abdullah from your city, he was presenting there, and he talked about the 11th and the 9th edition of the Yusuf Ali translation of the Quran, that it was the best, one of the better renditions of translation. Certainly what you said deserves some, because there have been translations done by different thinkers, I would say, and they have not did a very good job of translating the Quran. So be very careful. You're right to be very careful. And the Yusuf Ali is definitely one of the better ones. And the later editions of it is even much better because they have refined that language, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead, continue. Just wanted to include that.
There's so much help. There's so much help in the Quran. The idea of difficulties. Again, we said difficulties are necessary, but Almighty God, Allah, says that with difficulty comes ease. And that's an interesting pair, isn't it? You know, you're suffering from lack of knowledge and circumstances that may even be beating you down. And here God says, well, with difficulty comes ease. Well, we kind of mentioned it as we're going along in this focus on a philosophy of life, a group philosophy of life, that the nature of these things that are harsh in our life help to strengthen us, to make us stronger, make us really create circumstances to bring out of us the good that God put in us. You know, a lot of times we don't know that we can handle. I know I was going through some difficulty, and a colleague, a friend, I won't mention his name. I've mentioned his name on other occasions. In fact, he was one of the helpers close to Imam Muhammad. And, I'll just say this. He was a part of doing the broadcasting. He would record Imam Muhammad's lectures and then put them on the CD disc. And before that, I think he did the cassettes and take them, you know, send them off to different cities so that they could put those lectures on the air, on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he shared with me. He says, you know, in talking about trauma, this is the way he gave it to me. He says, well, you know, we just have to make new memories, you know. Now, we know how memory affects us. A lot of times when we've experienced a traumatic experience, it stays in our memory. And at certain times, it'll come back on us. And we may even feel the same experiences of whatever the trauma was. And it presses on our memory a lot of times. And so it changes how we see ourselves and the world. But here the brother was telling me, you know, he said, well, you know, sometimes you just have to see see that you have to make new memories. So rather than fighting and pushing off the old memories, you add memories that are pleasant, you know, that are constructive. Mm-hmm. You know, you utilize your memory that God gave you to help heal you from the more difficult memories that you have. And we have a caller.
Yes. So 347.
Yes, 347. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
You're coming through loud and clear.
All right. This is Mahassan Abdul-Falah from the New Africa Bronx area of New York. I'm just very interested in the dialogue that occurring between the two of you. Alhamdulillah. Percolates much in the reflective zone of our critical options to consider and reconsider our own perception. You're talking about the Quran, Imam DeLacy, and I wonder if it would be possible for you to invite Imam Darnell Kareem on, and so he could talk about his experiences with Imam Muhammad in evolving a new commentary top tier of the Quran and the guidance that Allah has blessed our community with in the new and valid associations as we, in our evolution and development as Muslims, given our unique origin. And
yeah, Sister Mahassan, have you the privilege of getting that latest edition of the Imam Muhammad's commentary on the Quran? And are you, I know that Imam Michael's here in Indianapolis was one of the sources where the book could be obtained. He has a program, Words Make People, and we would invite the audience, the listeners, to definitely pursue getting that book. It's a publication that's very, it's available for purchase. So,
well, it's interesting. It's interesting that you mention him. I've been invited to become the host or co-host of one of the Words Make People, the book club that takes place on Saturday at 1 p.m. on the IWDM radio,
mm-hmm.
that is simulcast on AM 360. But yes, I'm familiar with it, and inshallah, I plan to procure it.
Yes.
So he's another person besides the Honorable Darnell Kareem, who grew up with Imam Muhammad. And has a rich, rich element that as he worked with Imam Muhammad in
yes,
you know,
I am aware. I am aware that he's having some health issues. Are you familiar with his health issues? Because I am aware that he was having some health issues. How is Imam Darnell Kareem?
Is that recent?
Yes, I think so. But
okay.
If not, I'd just like to know if you could investigate that. It would be important. But thank
sure.
you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that information as well about the Imam Muhammad's commentary on the Holy Quran. It's available in print form.
Yeah. And if you could give our listeners the information by which they can procure it, that would be fine. I will investigate that. We usually keep in touch every now and then. And the many publications that he had been partnering in
and he has a new book out too. He has a book out as well, right? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes,
he has a very important book out, I was understanding.
Yes, and he also has a USB. I purchased this recently. It is an amazing instrument. But these are some of the scholars. I heard Brother Michael Hameen mention the book, Adam and the Evolving Soul. Mm.
Yes, we are doing a good work. Mm-hmm. Good work is coming forward. It's coming.
Yes. And so it's amazing to our community to be to have availability to take advantage of those readings and those knowledgeable information to evolve us forward and strengthen our progression in Al-Islam.
Michael,
I'm going to stop right here.
Sister Muhassan, I need to interrupt. Michael, can you mute my mic for a minute?
Yes,
and continue with the programming, if you would.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Muhassan, please. And we have another caller.
You do?
Yes, ma'am.
You have another caller? Okay.
Yes,
no,
ma'am.
Please, I had resolved. I'll stay on the line and inshallah, come back with any other comments. But please go to your other caller, Michael.
Thank you. And press 1 to go out, and we'll acknowledge you when you press 1 to come back in the queue. 972, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, Ishmael, family in Dallas.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome.
How you doing, bro? How's everyone? I just wanted to make a few comments about you. Thank you. You were talking about the Palestinian situation when they want to question the paperwork. And what came to mind is that these Palestinians, they had graves of their great parents. And they made sure that they desecrated those graves and covered them up. So that, they didn't want to have any kind of proof. But then they would question, the paperwork after all that is done. And they didn't need paperwork. They had generational proof there. And
yes,
then secondly, I like your comments on memory. That's a good concept, and that's a concept I've taken with my diet. I tell people I don't necessarily take away some of the things. I'm not focusing on taking away things. I'm focusing on adding the good things to my diet, and that way there's less room for those unpleasant things, and that has helped me out. So I do appreciate that concept, and you can do that same concept with memory. So I appreciate that.
Exactly. And I appreciate you making that connection because it's so important.
Yes, sir.
what we feed our souls, our spirit, and our minds.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the last thing is on the Imam's commentary. And I've been on a few shows, and people would say, well, the Imam, he went after this school of thought. And the truth is, the Imam tells you what his guidance is. He says, the tafsir of the Quran, using the Quran. He said he uses the Arabic language. And what was his Arabic teacher name? I can't remember.
Dr. Jamil Diab. He was Yeah, he was the last. He was the last instructor of the Quran that Ambi Elijah Muhammad, his father, had for the young students.
Yep, and some people would try to say that he taught the Imam his insight, and Darnell Kareem, he's mentioned that Dr. Jamil Diab would say, well, no, I teach him the language, but that insight, that's on him. I didn't teach him all that insight. And then the last thing he uses is the teachings of the Prophet himself when he does the commentary. And so many people that call themselves scholars, they go to the scholars before they go to those three things. And I think it's important how the Imam, he uses, the tafsir of the Quran with the Quran, the Arabic language, and the teachings of the Prophet himself. And that's how he established his commentary. And I'll stop there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you, Ishmael. Alaikum as-salam. And I just want to say that Imam Muhammad has such special insight, and he taught us about this, I don't want to call it a phenomenon, but this established way of Almighty God of renewing the religion. And there's a name for it. I'm not going to mention the name because, you know, many of us have heard it. And sometimes, you know, we grab a hold of some of these expressions and we kind of wear them out. But the proof is in the pudding. You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, as they say. And it was the work that Imam Muhammad was doing in terms of bringing a fresh eyes to the Quranic guidance, fresh eyes even to the Bible and other scriptural presentations, and insight in terms of how the world operates, and the example of Prophet Muhammad, you know, and the work that's ongoing and amongst his students in particular, and the presentations of snippets of Imam Muhammad's lectures, or some of them are complete lectures that you can find on YouTube and some other platforms. AM 360, Imam Kareem Hamid presents lectures of the Imam Muhammad every Saturday morning, and regrettably the platform was having problems and we weren't able to hear him. The reading of transcriptions of his presentations on Sunday at 5 o'clock, Imam Kareem and I co-host Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I want to go back to what was said about the environment created by the Nation of Islam, its founder, W.D. Farrar, and the leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And this is coming from a scholar and a friend of our community, Dr. C. Eric Lincoln. And you can look up the term, but he called the Nation of Islam a proto-Islamic development. And I looked up the word proto, and it says a combining form that means first, foremost, the earliest form of, and before that, that presentation, proto is a prefix, and it has to deal with the original or primitive presentation. And another word for precursor, what comes before. So that dignifies the experience that many of us on this line had gone through. It dignifies the presentation of the Nation of Islam language environment. And I'm an opening ma'am. DeLacy's mic back up. And Sister Mahasan, I see your hand up again as well.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. I had a little disturbance I had to take care of briefly.
Yes, sir.
Helping me with that. I was listening to Brother Ishmael's comments. Very, very welcomed and very informative and very suited to what we were discussing in terms of Imam Muhammad's commentary. Appreciate that as well from Brother Ishmael down in Dallas. Let's get Sister Muhasan back in, inshallah. And,
all right. Yes, sir.
We got just a few minutes left, and we
welcome back.
Wrap up.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for reminding me, because I got the clock on my side, and I hadn't been looking in that direction. It's about 3 minutes, Sister Martin.
It's always interesting. As-salamu alaykum. Always interesting to me as an experience. And I'm looking, and I think I can appreciate the signs that Allah is given, that there seems to be a reduced amount of time.
Yes, it does.
And it always seems to occur at a time when I tap on the one to come into the queue, but I'm not taking that in any strange type of way, just an interesting occurrence. You know, the beauty of the human being is in that Allah created things in pairs as an instructing sign, so that feminine type of contribution to knowledge and information, that perspective is very unique. As Allah, when those who read in the Quran about that, Allah having said, and the male is in no ways like the female, it's such a beneficial connection to hear the insights and the wisdom and the thinking that occurs in the differentiation. I really appreciate it. I wanted to comment again and appreciate Brother Ismail's comment and his appreciation of the concept of memory that you talked about, and just say, as I work, excuse me, as in the field of psychological order and disorder, and work with people who experience trauma, anxiety, and stress, a lot of times by the thinking or the disorder that has gone on in their minds. This is a very productive process of helping them to create.
We've got less than a minute.
In their mind. I'll try to use 30 seconds of that. But it's very, very therapeutic to help them create the new, more significant, positive aspects of their experiences in life and let that have a transformative effect. So,
yeah.
Inshallah, I'll stop right there.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Michael, go ahead and close us out. Inshallah, we thank our listeners for tuning in to Preparing to Make It into Land of Plenty and the commentary from our guests. We appreciate it very much. Peace and blessings to everyone. Close us out, Michael, inshallah.
Well, we thank you for joining us. Join us next week for more of Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We ask Almighty God, Allah, to guide us among those you've guided right. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining us.